Dear God, we just invite you into this place, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for wanting to be with us. We thank you for wanting to be here and visit us, Lord God. I pray that you would open up our eyes to see you this morning, that you would have us see you in a new light, in a way that we haven't seen you before, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would touch our hearts, Lord God, and fill us with your love and fill us with your peace, Lord Jesus. We love you so much, and this is our time that we can pour out our love to you. So I pray that there would be no distractions in Jesus' name, that there would be nothing else that we would be thinking about, but that we would be looking at you, our King, because we love you, God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to serve you. We want to praise you, Lord Jesus. So I pray that our hearts would fill up with love and that our hearts would fill up with passion for you, Lord God, and that all we would want to do is sing to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all you do, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Why don't we stand together for this first song?
Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory.
Sun shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I'm alone, marked with suffering, those peace in the offering.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, Jesus, blessed be. Glorious name. Give and take.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious
name. Must be more.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we
a path.
Spirit of God, won't you fall on this place? And Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with ask that you fill this place, Lord God, with your presence this morning, Lord. Our hearts are open to you, Jesus. Come have your way, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus.
And you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
day and night. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. Oh,
Jesus,
for from you are all things,
and
to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Oh, you are worthy of it all. I trust in you. hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing.
Zechariah today, chapter 10. The first, if you want to make your offerings through Zelle, our email address is up there if it's more convenient. We have prayer meetings every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:15, and a Bible study shortly after that, although right now we're going through the book Experiencing God. If you'd like more information on that, let us know. We'd be happy to involve you. And that's at 7:30. In Zechariah 10, he says, ask in the first two verses, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. For the idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. So what was happening is that the people there, the false prophets, they were telling them, hey, there's rain, when it wasn't the time for rain. And so they were giving them false comfort, and the people just kept on getting worse and worse and more disappointed because they kept thinking, now is the time for all the earthly blessings that I've been waiting for. It's now. They're telling me it's now. But the first verse, God says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. And the response from God is not, and he'll make it rain. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. So when is that? When is that time? I don't know that time. So when he says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain, that means I need to keep asking all the time. And when it's time, it'll come. So when the people were told it's time and it wasn't happening, they were attributing that to nothing. They had nothing to say. Wait, you told me, like, there was nobody, that no authority, no power they could go to and say, wait, what's wrong with you? You're not. They just kept on asking and kept on worshiping their idols and not getting anything. God is saying, look, the time is coming. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you the time is now for all the earthly blessings that you could imagine. He's saying, in the time, it will come. So keep on asking. And if you're asking and it's not there yet, you can be sure, based on the authority of the word right here, that it's not time yet. But there is a time. Right? He gives us confidence that there is a time for that to come. And that he makes the same promises about asking as he does about giving. When he says, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, good measure, shaken together, all of that stuff. It's the same promise. If you haven't felt that way yet, or if you haven't seen enough, or if you haven't understood that God is working that way, we all go through that, right? We all have those issues. We all have those times where we're like, I don't see it. I feel like I'm doing it right, but I don't see it yet. God is saying, he's giving us confidence and saying, don't be like the ones who cling to and jump to and hold on to other people telling them, now is the time. Now is the time. I've seen it. Now is the time. And then you get disappointed. Just trust me. Keep asking. Keep giving. I've not lost anything you've given to me. None of it has gone to waste. None of it. The time is coming for the rain. Flashing clouds, showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. It's not just for you, right? When I give, it's not just for me. It's not just God, I'm giving so I can be blessed. I'm giving so he can use everything that I have, not just what I tithe, but everything that I have for his glory to make something much bigger than anything I could have done with it. Right? What God is declaring here, it's so much bigger even than what the people are asking their idols for. Right? What they're asking for is we want some rain. And God is saying, I can give you so much more, but I know when to give it. I know when to give it. And just like last week, we talked about God not dealing with everybody the same way. The timing's not the same either. He knows the right time to give, and he knows exactly what to give. And so we want to come with a heart of faithfulness and say, God, I'm going to continue asking. I'm going to continue asking because I don't know the time. You know the time, but I know that you have a time. So I'm going to continue, and I'm not going to be discouraged when I don't see with my eyes what I was hoping to see. So let's pray over the offering now. God, we thank you so much for this amazing opportunity you've given to us to join with you in your work, God, to show you the position of our hearts, that we trust you, that we rest in you, and we are comforted by you and you alone, God. There's nothing in this world that can tell us that we need to be comforted in them or in anything else. We thank you that you are our healer and you are our comfort and you are the one who provides for us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's overwhelming. this love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, and lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat, oh, this love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's over.
Sing that one more time.
I wanna sit at your feet and drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's
overwhelming. Good morning. Okay, we're reading in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Are we good? I think I have this one right.
Bring it down a little. Yeah, thank you.
Praise God. God is good. Amen. Turn to somebody right now, please. Greet them. Tell them God is good. Give them a high five if you want. God is good. High fives are good. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Justin, going the extra mile. Look at him go. Praise God. Look at that. All the way to the back.
Praise God. Thank you, Justin. Justin, you get an extra 20 points for the day. Congratulations. Everyone else, you guys are 20 points behind, so let's step it up here. Encouragement helps, clapping helps. No, I'm kidding. All right, so big day, as my brother said. I get to speak to... No, that's not what it is. This is the day the Lord has made, right? We shall rejoice and be glad in it. There is a game on today, by the way. We got to get this out of the way first. Just get that out of the way, because I know everybody's going to be watching their clock pretty soon. I will try to be as quick as possible, 2-3 hours maybe. But, always, that joke never gets old. But anyways, there's a game today, Patriots and the Rams, right? How many of you guys are for the Patriots? Okay. All right. Okay. At the end of the day, there's going to be communion. You're not allowed. No, I'm kidding. How many of you guys are for the Rams? Okay. And the rest of us, we're all Raider fans, right? Yes. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's what makes this great. And we're all on the same team. We're a different jersey, but we all have made opinions, and we think they're facts, or we think we've raised opinions on who, what team we like, what team is going to win, right? Based on that's our team, based on, you know, we follow the NFL, and based on, oh, I know the stats, and on a Sunday when it rains, this team plays better, whatever the stats may be. So we form our opinions, right, based on these things that we've seen, and we've seen the team go through. And some of us, we may just like their color, right? We say, oh, nice little horns on the helmet, so I'm going to go for that team, right? But whatever the case may be, we've all formed an opinion of what team we like, right? We've all formed an opinion, and we've, like I said, grown up watching a team or whatever it may be. And we see here in this psalm, as we read in Psalm 27, that just like we've all formed opinions of different things, we've all formed opinions of lifestyles or whatever the case may be, we see here that David didn't just form an opinion of who God was, of who God is, but he knew who God was in his life, right? He knew who God is in our lives as well, right? This psalm that he read here in chapter 27 is a statement of faith, right? As a matter of fact, my Bible here says it's an exuberant declaration of faith. Don't ask me to spell it. Well, I could spell it. I got it in front of me. But it says here that it's a declaration of faith. It's not an opinion. It's not what he may think may happen. There's no doubt, right? He knows who God is in his life, right? We see once again in 27 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you honor and glory, Lord. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for those that are here, Lord, and what you're doing in their lives, what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do in their lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there is a purpose in each and every person's life here, Lord. And we thank you and we honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He knows. Excuse me. He knows. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my strength." Now we understand, those of you that know the story of David, that his confidence, his faith was battle tested, right? He went through stuff in his life, right? When he says, "The Lord is my light," he knows that the Lord moved on his behalf in times of darkness, right? And we've probably seen the hand of God move in our lives in times of darkness, right? Where we feel that we can't see nothing, where we can't feel nothing, whatever the case may be, but we can only explain it as darkness, right? Or maybe we didn't even know we were living in darkness, but then there was a light that was so bright, and we had an encounter with Jesus Christ in our life, right? But David here, he knew, he experienced the darkness, and he said, "The Lord is my light." He said, "The Lord is my salvation." He experienced, there was a time where he needed rescue. He needed help, right? People were after him, right? And he says, "The Lord is my strength." He had to go out there and battle. He had to go out there and face the foes at times, or people were rising up against him, trying to take him out, and he needed strength. Amen? He is my light, he is my salvation, and he is my strength. See, as I said earlier, David's confidence was battle-tested. He knew God's goodness even in danger and despair. Now, we know the life of David. We know that at a very young age, between 13, 15 years old, he was anointed to be the next king, right? An awesome thing. He was anointed, but yet when it came time to be anointed, his father, those of you that know the story, those of you that know it, his father didn't consider him worthy to be lined up, right? Remember the prophet came, Samuel came, he says, "Bring out your children, and I'm going to anoint the next king." And even the prophet thought, "Oh, the first one, this guy looks like a king," right? And he was focused on the exterior of somebody, right? But he brought all the sons, and he says, "Well, it's none of these. Where is he yet?" And he left them out, right, tending to the sheep. He left them out. The father didn't even think that he was worthy of this calling, right? But the Lord knew his heart, right? We know that David had an awesome title and says, "A man after my own heart," right? But we know that he was anointed king. And even in his life as he grew, right, he faced Goliath. He had awesome victories, right? And David, his tens of thousands, remember they were praising it. They were singing it, right? He says, "David doing so good to the point where he was almost second in command right there. And everything was going good, right? Everything is moving smoothly." Anybody ever been there where you think, things are going awesome. Things are going great in my life. And then all of a sudden we know the turn that happened in his life where what happened? King Saul wanted to kill him. And he was running for his life. So you have somebody that was anointed to be king. He's on his way and it looks like it's about to happen. He is right there with the king. Everything is looking good. And then next thing you know, he's running for his life. There's danger after him. Foes are rising up against him. That's why he has this psalm right here. It's a confident statement, a statement of faith, knowing who Christ is, who God is in his life. And in the same way, as we experience God in our lives, we start to know and we start to experience who he is in our life. And we start to know that he is real in our lives, that he has moved in our lives. And just as he moved before, he can move again in our lives. Because he proves himself to be real. He is a just God. He is a good God. And he is one that fights on our behalf. Just as David got to know this, that he can declare, "He's my light. He's my salvation. He is my strength." He ran for his life. He was in hiding. And eventually he became king, right? The promise came forth. But we see here that it was battle tested. He had to go through some things in his life, right? He had to go to experience this goodness of God, right? Sometimes we go through things and we don't understand what's happening in our lives. It may be ugly. It may be dark. Whatever it may be, stormy, right? We've just heard about the storms, right, where Jesus came by and he helped them. And they calmed the storm. There's fears, whatever it may be. God moves on our behalf. And God moved on David's behalf so much so that he said, "He is my light, my salvation, and my strength." The Lord is my light, salvation. He said, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Remember when he went up to Goliath and he said, "Come to me, I'm going to feed you to the birds and they're going to eat up your carcass." Right? In verse 2 it says, "When the wicked man came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." He had a victory. right? Remember the victories in your life. If you can't think of one right now, understand Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you to give you eternal life. If you could say, I don't know what victories are in my life. I haven't experienced. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ died for your sins to give you eternal life. That is the greatest victory. Amen? That is the greatest victory right there. When the wicked man came against me, to my flesh, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though the war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This faith that he had all of a sudden, it came through time, right? It came through whatever he went through in his life, right? When we go through things, we see God's hand move, our faith, right, is strengthened. And we know, just like my brother said, I can't lose now, right? He says, I can't lose. Why? Because Jesus goes before him. Amen. Went before him, is with him, works through him. Jesus is with him. Amen. He can't lose. And guess what? If you have Jesus Christ, you can't lose either. Turn to someone and tell them, I can't lose. Yes. Hallelujah. Can't lose. Praise the Lord. Lord, go with the Raiders, please. Can't lose. Yeah, pray. Pastor said prayer and fasting for that one. Yeah, we'll get to the end. Wait on the Lord. But we see this faith that David had. The Apostle Paul had this same kind of faith, right? Remember, Apostle Paul, he persecuted the Christians at Saul, right? He went after, if you claim Jesus Christ as God, the Son of God, he came after you. He had permission to come and persecute you, right? He had letters to come and persecute, right? And then one day he had an encounter with Christ. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me, right? He had an encounter, Acts chapter 9, why? Right? And we see that he fell, the lights, and we have this whole encounter with the Lord. But then we see his life when he sees his calling and he called him to go out in the ministry. He was beaten. He was arrested. He was left for dead, right? Shipwrecked. He went through a lot of things in his life. Who wants to sign up for that? Anybody? Taking sign-ups right now. But he went through things, but he found joy in the Lord. Amen? He found joy in the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, 31, he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Romans 8:38 says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Right? Statement of faith. If God is for me, who can be against me? I can't lose. Right? We're going to title that. Can't lose. God is for me, who can be against me? Nothing is going to separate me from this love. Right? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Romans chapter 8, if you have time, read it. It gives you the list of all these things. Persecutions, peril, sword. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. We need to understand and we need to know that Jesus Christ loves us. I'm going to say it again. We need to not just know. We need to not just hear that Jesus loves us. We need to understand that Jesus loves us. See, a lot of times we hear it, we may know it, but we need to understand it. And it needs to speak to our hearts that there is someone that loves us, that there is someone that cares for us, that there is someone that wants to be with us, right? There is somebody who wants to pursue, as we've been learning on Wednesday, pursue a relationship with us, right? He told Moses, and it stood out to me in our study, come up to me to the mountain, right? God called Moses, come up to me. He wants to pursue that relationship with you, Right? He wants to get you to this place. Apostle Paul went through these things in life, and yes, they're ugly, and I put down some of the ugly stuff. But he said, I learned to have and not have. He got to the point where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? He knows who he is serving. He knows who is on his side. Right? He knows that there's nothing that can separate him from the love of God. No matter what comes our way, no matter what tries to rise up against us, he is my light, my salvation, my strength. And there's nothing that can separate us from that. Amen? There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing. Everyone here right now, there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from that love. You cannot lose because Christ already won. Amen? Already won, and we're part of that team. One team. Amen? One team. Our banner is the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 27:4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. See, these men, these two men, King David and the Apostle Paul, they knew of a secret. And it's not a secret, it's known to us. But they knew of one thing, right? They knew how wonderful it is to seek the Lord and to experience his presence, right? They knew the goodness, the greatness it is to have this relationship with the Lord, right? They knew that when you spend time with the Lord, it strengthens you. You get encouraged. You may get fired up. And you may think, I'm going to just move mountains, or I can do this, or I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. We start to see God move on our behalf. Because their desire is to seek of the Lord, to have that relationship with the Lord. Amen? To have a relationship is their desire. But yet we see, and we see these two examples of these great men of faith. Many more examples in the Bible. But we see these great examples of men of faith. And we may think to ourselves, and we may think, there's no way I can live this kind of life. There's no way. I mean, that's King David, right? I mean, that's a great man. Man after his own heart. I mean, I can't reach that title, right? The Apostle Paul, another great man of the faith, heroes of the faith in the Bible. And we may see those stories and we may think, wow, those are great stories that happen in their lives. But we may think, how can I compare to that? Or I am not even at that level. Or maybe I have not experienced things that they went through. I remember when I first got saved. When I first got saved, actually before I got saved, I used to think like that. I used to think, man, I'm just not going to get to that level because I was trying to measure myself with other people. Right? I was trying to see what they were doing and saying, man, I cannot get to that level. There is no way. Right? And what happens there, what happens when we think like that is because we're taking our eyes off of the Lord and we're focusing on other things. We're focusing on ourselves. It may even be a form of pride, a selfish thing, but whatever the case may be, I used to think like that. I used to think, man, I can't do that. I can't get to that level. Or I haven't gone through those things. I was born and raised in East LA. And in East LA, I used to go around and I used to see Victory Outreach, if you guys are familiar with that church. And I would see Victory Outreach, and I would see them in the streets. And even before I knew about the Lord, I would see them in the corners. We knew about them because they were out there, okay? And I would hear them preaching, and I would hear them saying this, and the Lord saved me, and the Lord helped me, and the Lord rescued me, right? And you would see them, and it was an ex-gang member. He would say, I used to be in gangs, and the Lord changed my life. Or I used to be in drugs, and the Lord changed my life. Or I was an alcoholic, and the Lord changed my life. And I used to think along those lines. I used to say, man, I can't do what they did because I didn't live that life. Right? See, I used to think, well, if you're not in a gang, or if you're not an alcoholic, or if you're not a drug addict, then I guess you don't need the Lord. Because those are what you would hear a lot, right? And I used to say, well, I guess it's not for me. And I used to say, well, I guess I'm not going to get to that, right? That's not for me. But then I got saved. One day I went to a men's breakfast and I heard a preacher saying, he was talking about King David. And he said, in the springtime when kings were at war, King David stayed home, right? And that's how he started off. And it hit me because he started talking about men not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you talk about a gut punch, right? And I felt, wow, it's not just those three sins that I used to think of. There's a lot more, right? So full of pride, so full of religion. Because I used to think, well, I'm good. I used to get mad if you talk to me about Jesus. I'm good. Don't worry about it. Right? I love Jesus, but I'm getting mad at you because you're talking to me about Jesus. Doesn't make sense. But I used to think like that. And then once I got saved, I would hear and I would go out. And I remember going out with Victory Outreach one time in Ontario. And they were promoting a play that they were going to have. And I remember we're walking the streets and people are preaching and people are saying, and we got to a stop. It was an empty lot. And we got to a stop. And all of a sudden, when I got up there, I saw there was five microphones lined up. Five microphones lined up. And I'm like, oh, what's going on up there? And I saw five people go up to the microphones. And they started saying their testimony. Jesus saved me from this, and Jesus helped me this. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's a great message. And then those five people left, and all of a sudden I noticed we all just did this. Like, and I was like getting close. I was like, wait, what's going on here? I'm going to have a term pretty soon. I said, what's going on? And I started getting fear because I thought to myself, wow, I don't have a bad life. I don't have a bad example. I thought, man, my testimony is cheap, right? I thought, I don't have a good testimony, right? So I remember having fear when I went up there, right? I remember going out in the streets here in Norwalk, and they said, hey, we're going to go out there and pass out flyers, and we're going to go and talk to the neighborhood. And I said, okay, let's go. And we went, and our pastor's over there, and we met him, and we start going through the streets. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what is that guy carrying? And he has a bullhorn in his hand. And he starts talking in the bullhorn. Ah, Jesus loves you, and Jesus died for you. And I'm like, wow. All of a sudden, he looks at me, and he goes, here, your turn. And I didn't know what to say. I had fear. But I just started saying what I knew to say. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. He died for my sins. And from that, it just grew. And all of a sudden, the strength grows. And you realize the Lord is with me. Right? And you realize, man, God is with me. And you start to feel and you start to get excited. And next thing you know, you don't want to give the bullhorn away. You have fear. The Lord doesn't want you to walk in fear. Amen? You have doubt. The Lord doesn't want you to have doubt. There's concerns in your life. He wants to help you. Amen? He wants to be your light, your salvation, your strength. In the book of John chapter 9, I'll try to just go through this. We see the story about a man born blind who receives his sight. And we see in verse 1, it says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. We see a miracle of the Lord, right? We see the miracle here. We see the man was there blind. And we see that as Jesus passed by, right? It says, now when Jesus passed by, he saw the man who was blind from birth. And his look had the disciples start asking, who sinned here? They're trying to figure things out. Who sinned? Is it the parents that sinned? Or is it the man that sinned? Because then you would see somebody blind, and it was because of something sin or something bad. So they started thinking, who sinned? He says, neither, just so that you could see God's word manifest in this man. Right? Just so you could see God's word manifest. And just the same way it happened here, God's word wants to be made manifest in your lives as well. Just the same way. There's sickness, there's a negative report, a negative confession that has been spoken over you. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, you are set free. You're fighting with something. You can't break free from whatever it is. Jesus wants to set you free. That is His will. That is His desire. And that is what He will do in Jesus' name. But He passed by. Jesus passing by is a sign that He is closer than you think. He is closer than you think. You may think to yourself, He doesn't hear me. He doesn't hear me. I speak, I ask, I pray, and He just cannot hear me. Guess what? He's closer than you think. He is closer than you think. He passed by and He saw him. The disciples started questioning. They're trying to figure things out. Jesus says, no, this is so that the works of God should be revealed in him. And he spat and made clay with saliva. And then it says he anointed his eyes. You know, a lot of times we start to focus on how it's done, on the method that's done, right? We think, oh, I remember I had an experience with the Lord, and it was during this song, and I had my right foot on top of the pew, and that's the way it's got to be from now on. And we try to get to that spot again. And the Lord says, no, let's move on from that. I got bigger, better things for you, right? Let's move on from glory to glory, right? We can't sit in that place trying to find out the same spot. The box was turned this way, so I got to keep it that way. Well, the Lord wants you to experience His goodness day by day, and they're new and they're fresh daily. Amen? They're new and they're fresh day by day. He spat on the ground, made clay. Now, he was blind, so he can't see what he's doing. But everyone else might have been thinking, what is this guy doing? Right? Making little clay of mud and just going over and just popping them on the eye. And you see in some commentaries, I was seeing that while it would irritate him, so it would lead him to go wipe, and you would hear other things, and I read other things. But then I started thinking, it's not about how it happened. But who is at work here, right? Who is at work, right? A lot of times we focus on the method, how it's going to work, instead of who is at work. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 teaches that His ways are greater, better, more gooder, that's the word, than our ways, right? His ways are far greater than ours. Amen. But we get focused on our ways, on how we think things should happen, on who should speak to us, or whatever it is. We focus on these things. I remember before I got saved, even since I was a kid, when I was on the world doing whatever I was doing, I used to have a prayer. And I used to pray to the Lord, and I used to pray, Lord, my desire is for a wife, a family, so that we can go to church. I had that prayer in my life. I used to say, man, I want this. Right? I grew up in Catholic church, and I used to say, man, we want to have it, and on Sundays we go to church and we go to Mass, and this was my desire. And then I met Lorraine. And I met Lorraine, and we're talking, and we got to talking, and I find out, I said, hey, you go to church? One day I asked her, you go to church? She goes, yes, I do. I said, what church do you go to? And she said, Victory Outreach. And I said, again? I said, Lord, didn't we talk about this church already? And she said, I go to Victor Outreach, right? Her family went to Victor Outreach. And I was like, man, that's not how I planned this. This is not the church I was talking about, Lord, right? This is not, I remember going to a play after I got saved at Victor Outreach, same play I knew about the resurrection of the Lord and when they crucified the Lord, just weeping nonstop there. And I was like, I know this story. Why am I crying? Because the Lord had moved in my heart already. Something was in motion now. And I said, I don't understand what's happening. And the Lord said, that's exactly where I want you. That's exactly where I want you. I don't want you to understand it. I don't want you to focus on the method. I just want you to know that I am working in your life. The Lord is working as I speak right now. The Lord is working in your life on your behalf. There may be troubles. There may be storms. There may be fears. There may be doubts. The Lord is still working on your behalf. Amen? And we need to believe it. We need to understand that. We can't focus on the way. We know the story in 2 Kings 5 about Naaman, who was a commander in the army of the Syrian king, right? He was a commander, great man, right? He says he was a mighty man of valor, but he had leprosy. So he was a great man, but he had an issue. He was sick. He had leprosy, skin falling off, right? I'll try to go quicker, but he went to the prophet Elisha, and he went to receive his healing, right? He went to the prophet to receive his healing. And when he got there, Elisha sent a messenger. And he told him, why don't you go and wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times to receive your healing. And instead of Naaman, instead of him going and following orders, says that he got mad. He was full of pride. He says, man, I'm a commander here. I'm the right top guy, whatever his title was. He said, man, it was pride. But he got mad because he said, I thought I was going to come out here and he was going to come out and meet me and he was going to wave his hand and it was just going to fall off. He even says, aren't the waters in Damascus even better? Aren't the rivers in Damascus better? I'm not going to try to name them. Aren't they better than what he told me to go wash in? Right? He says, man, I don't like this method. They finally talk him into going and he goes and he dips himself 7 times and guess what? He's healed. Amen? It says the skin was soft as a child. Right? Soft as a child, he received his healing when he obeyed the voice, the words of the prophet, when he obeyed the word of the Lord. Right? We can't focus on the process. God is moving in your life. On the method, excuse me. We can't focus on the method. He is moving in your life right now. But we need to focus on who is moving in our behalf, right? We need to focus on the relationship being built between each other, right? We need to seek His Lord, inquire of Him at His temple. Amen? He finally obeyed and was healed. Back to John chapter 9, in verse 7, after he spat and he made clay, Jesus gave him a simple instruction. Go and wash. Right? Go, wash. Simple part for us to do. Just go and wash. It says when he obeyed those words, he came back healed with sight. Right? He came back healed with sight. The miracle happened in his life. But then as soon as the miracle happened in life, as soon as God moved on our behalf, guess who showed up? The enemy of our soul that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan wants to stop the work of God in our lives. And just in the same way that this man was healed, quickly after that, the neighbors started questioning. Those that were around him started questioning. They said, oh, this may not be him. It looks like him, but it's not. Right? After they took him to the Pharisees and they said, hey, this. And they said, there's no way that that can happen. He healed on a Sabbath. This man is a sinner. They tried all kinds of excuses to stop this man from believing that Christ moved in his life. They even brought his parents. And they said, is this your son? Is this, was he born blind? He says, whether he, you know, he was healed or not, we don't know. He was born blind, but they didn't want to answer it. They said, he's of age. Ask him. He'll answer. They didn't want to stick up for him because they knew that saying that Jesus is the Son of God was going to cause a lot of trouble. Right? So he came to the point where they started questioning him and they started asking him. And I was at a point where I was like, man, Lord, do I have to do something bad? What has to happen in my life? What has to go on in my life for me to really consider myself worthy of your calling? And I used to think like that. And then he gives them the best answer I think anybody could ever give. He says, look, all I know is that I used to be blind, and now I see. Right? And when finally that ministered to me, I said, you know what? I just used to be blind, and now I see. I may not have lived this person's life or tried to be this person's life. I have my own issues, and all I know that I was blind, and now I see. Now I see the goodness of the Lord. Now I see his hand move in my life. Now I see his hand move in my children's life. Now I see his hand move where I go. Storms rise up. Troubles rise up. Issues rise up. People rise up against us. But the Lord is my light, my salvation, and my strength. Whom shall I fear? And when fear rises up, he is my light, my strength, and my salvation. Right? The flesh wants to walk in fear, doubt, unbelief. But the Lord wants us to live a victorious life. We can't lose. Amen? We can't lose. He says, I was blind, and now I see. And we see that this man, as he was standing for the Lord, he started off by saying, oh, he's just a man that healed me, to saying, this is the Son of God. Right? We see his belief of who Jesus is in his life was changing. It was becoming more personal. It was becoming more powerful. God moves on our behalf. All this standing in faith, standing in belief, led him to be cast out. In verse 34, it says that after all these questions and everything, he even tells them, he goes, do you guys want to be his disciple? Right? Rub them the wrong way. But it says that after that, he was cast out, excommunicated from the temple, which is a big thing, right? And then verse 35, as it seems that he's alone, that he's lost it all, right? Yes, he received his sight, but guess what? He's alone. Yes, he received his sight, but the family didn't even want to stand with him. Yes, he received his sight, but guess what? Where he thought he was going to go and praise the Lord isn't even accepting him there. Feels like he lost it all, right? Feels like he lost it all. When I got saved, I remember a lot of my family members questioned it, came against it, right? Losing friends, whatever the case may be, feeling I may be alone in this. But then something wonderful happens in verse 35. When Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? Listen to here. It says, Jesus heard that they cast him out. It says, when he had found him, in other words, Jesus went out there looking for him. Right? He didn't say, well, come find me. I'm over here. No, it says Jesus went. He pursues, once again, he pursues a relationship with us. Right? That is awesome. He pursues a relationship with each and every one of us. And when he heard that this man was at a point where it feels he lost it all, Jesus went and looked for him. Jesus found him. And he told him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Amen. He was not alone. Christ's compassion was with him. When I say you may think Christ is far from you, he can't hear you, he's closer than you think. This man didn't know that. right? He became a worshiper. He became a follower of Christ. But not only that, he was received into the family of believers, right? Look around you right now. Go ahead, look around you right now. There's your brother, your sister, and the Lord. Amen? The family of believers, right? The Lord wants you to know that you are not alone in this journey. The Lord wants you to know that just as He pursues a relationship with you, He has placed people around you in your life that you may do life with, that may help you, may pray with you, right? But more importantly, He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to get to know you so you may get to know His goodness. Amen? This man was not alone. And it led him to say, who is he that I may believe? I want to know who this person is. Back in Psalm 27, 13, 14, it says, to see goodness in the land of the living. The Lord wants to show us His goodness. God the Father has given us His Son Jesus. Amen? He has given us His goodness. Back in 2012, my mother passed away of cancer. And in 2017, my oldest sister passed away of cancer. And it was a tough time. And it was a trying time. And it was an ugly time, a time where we felt darkness, that we felt, but we had His comfort with us. Amen? But the best thing that I get out of this, even though that's ugly and that's an ugly sickness, and I believe in the name of Jesus that there will be a cure, and Jesus is the cure. And if anybody have that right now in the name of Jesus, they are healed by the stripes He bore in His back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But they were able to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I remember both my mother and my sister went to a retreat, an encounter they called it. And they received and they gave their lives to the Lord. And they were able to see the goodness of the Lord here in the land of the living. But even better than that is that right now they are experiencing the goodness of God, because why? Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they are in heaven right now, where there's no sickness. There's no weeping. Right? They're skipping, they're dancing, whatever they are doing right now. They're cheering me on right now. But they experience the goodness, not only here, but they're experiencing now. And I know that one day we can see each other again. Right? Just like in everything, we miss them. There's memories. But I rejoice in the fact that there is goodness, not only here, but in the life to come. Amen? There's goodness, and He wants us to experience this goodness. King David experienced this goodness in the land of the living, and that's why he had this declaration of faith. See, we need to position ourselves for the miracle. This blind man only knew to stand and beg with his hands open. That's all he knew. We're going to close here. But that's all he knew to do. See, the opening of his eyes was a great miracle, but the greater miracle was the opening of his heart to the Savior. He was able to say, Lord, who is this that I may know Him, that I may follow Him, that I may worship Him? Lord, show me who this is. And that was the greater miracle. Amen? Let's all stand, please. We need to position ourselves for the miracle. He wants to release His goodness in your life. He wants to show you that He is closer than you think. You can just close your eyes right now. This man, he was born blind, so all he knew was to sit there and beg and have his hands open. And we may not understand what the Lord has done, why we're here, or what's going on. But the Lord says, just stand there, open your hands, and just receive my goodness. Not understanding sometimes can be, not sometimes, but can be the best position there. Just standing there with our hands open, saying, Lord, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I may see your goodness. He received physical healing, but the greater miracle was the opening of his heart to a Savior. See, we see great heroes of faith saying, the Lord is my light, my salvation, my strength. But we see at that moment, the Lord became this blind man's light, salvation, and strength. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We give you all honor and all glory, Lord. And we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we can see your goodness here in the land of the living, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the price for our sins, Lord. You paid the ultimate price, Father God. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. And we stand here, Lord, with our arms, our hands open to you, Lord, asking you to move in our lives, Lord. The winds are blowing. The waves are high. The troubles are near. Whatever the case may be, you are our light, our salvation, our strength, Lord. Whom shall we fear, Lord? Father, help us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you strengthen us. You help us in times of need, Lord. Father God, I just declare your goodness in everyone here, every life here, Lord. Father, we honor you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you, Father God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He wants you to experience his goodness, not only here, but in the life after. And all we have to do is confess, Jesus Christ, you are our Lord. Believe with your heart that he was raised from the dead. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Just take a moment right now. Glorify the Lord. Speak to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I want to see your goodness, Lord. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Help me this day to live for you, Lord. The blind man says, show me who it is that I may know him. That may be your cry right now. That may be your desire right now. Show me, Lord, who you are that I may follow you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you speak to their hearts. You minister to their hearts, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your goodness, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you endured my pain. Savior, you bore all my shame, all because of your so let my roots go down deep, unmovable and unshakable in you. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let my roots go down deep, unmovable and unshakable in you. that again. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let my roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let my roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. And this will be my song, God, and this will be my prayer till the end. Till the end. And this will be my song, God. And this will be my prayer till the end. Till the end. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let my roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. God, let that be the cry of our hearts. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let the roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the stream of living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. And this will be our song, God, and this will be our prayer till the end. Till the end. This will be our song, God. This will be our prayer. Till the end. Till the end.